The government's thrown some tourism businesses an economic lifeline and also suggested some of them get out of the game altogether. A $200 million fund has been announced for struggling operators to tap into, specifically those in what the minister calls the most vulnerable regions. They are Fiordland, South Westland, Queenstown Lakes, Mackenzie and Kaikoura. The money's earmarked for diversifying certain regions, expert planning advice and promoting tourism activities. Now, the Minister of Charge is Stuart Nash, and he joins me now. Minister, before we get on to your announcement today, obviously Trans-Tasman bubble affects tourism. What do you know?
Don't know much at all, actually. Waiting to hear Chris Hipkins' announcement at the same time as you, but pretty gutting, actually, isn't it?
What are you anticipating could happen, given the framework that you set up? What level are we at here?
To be honest, Lisa, I can't make any informed comment on that. I just don't have all the details in front of me.
Feeling a bit nervous about it, though, if it is a shutdown?
Well, I suspect a whole lot of tourism businesses and airlines are feeling a bit nervous about it because, you know, there's a lot of people booked from New Zealand to go to Australia and Australia to come here. And if there's any form of close down, then that will obviously disrupt their plans. But, you know, we've always been very clear that we'll take a health approach first and foremost, and Minister Hipkins will have all the details in front of him, so I'm assuming he will be able to inform you if you would talk to him, but certainly his decision will be well informed.
Okay, well, let's talk about the things that you announced today. $20 million to help diversify Wanaka Queenstown. First off, what is that $20 million to buy? What's it for?
Well, it's to really underwrite the diversification of the Queenstown / Wanaka economies. What we do know is that they are overly reliant on tourism. That's not a particularly, from an economic perspective, it's not a particularly healthy state of affairs. We would like to help them diversify. There have been a number of businesses and sectors that have actually put their hand up, and there's a lot of work going on in the space at the moment. So anything that we can do to help speed up that process, then we're more than willing to do that.
But, Minister, what do you mean when you say underwrite? Can people apply for that money? Is it for a study? What is it actually for?
No, certainly not grants in any way, shape or form. It's for working with key sectors of the economy outside of tourism to see what they can do or to help them set up in Queenstown / Wanaka area. Obviously not tourism businesses because this is for diversifying the economy, but it's not a grant. It is very much a business process that will allow the creation or the adaption or the relocation of certain businesses and industries outside of that.
So what do you reckon they should diversify into?
Well, that's not really for me to tell them. It's for them to come up with a plan and to present it to me. And when I say them, I'm not just talking about the Queensland Lakes District Council. I'm talking about the business community there. There are some amazingly innovative people that live in Queenstown. And a number of ideas that have been put to me are very exciting. But, you know, that needs to move to the next phase. We're not going to fund feasibility studies. But we will help fund or help businesses or business sectors grow or relocate or establish themselves there.
You did make a couple of suggestions, though. Digital innovation hub and a movie studio. So, I mean, what happens to the local barista or the mountain guide? You can't turn them into a coder overnight. So are you just replacing one workforce with another?
No, absolutely not. I mean, what we found at the moment with Queenstown and Wanaka and actually the five districts that you outlined is that due to a lack of economic diversification, when tourism numbers just plummeted due to the borders closing, there was nothing for anyone to do. You know, there were not people to go and buy that cup of coffee or eat in the restaurant or shop in the retail areas. At least if the economy has been diversified, then a number of these businesses can continue, albeit at significantly less profitability, but at least with a level of economic diversification, and they have a chance of surviving, where if you're totally reliant on one industry, then, you know, we've seen what's happened.
So a $49 million fund to kickstart hibernating businesses, presumably that's not going to Queenstown or Wanaka, because you want attrition, don't you?
No, what we recognise is that there are a number of businesses that had good sound business models, but because there is a lack of international tourists here, that they have had to either hibernate or significantly downsize. But we also recognise that when the borders open, these will be highly valuable businesses, and we want to ensure that they do have a level of finance available to ensure their business can open and deliver on the sort of experience that we want international tourists to have.
So who's going to screen the ones we're saving and the ones you don't want? Because you do want these two areas to diversify away from tourism, so there's no point chucking money into businesses that you actually don't want to have around.
So we won't be giving these businesses money as they hibernate. We'll be giving them money as they come out of hibernation. And there will be a process that they will have to go through to make sure that the business is still economically viable and sound.
What, like the Strategic Tourism Assets Fund?
No, not at all. This will be, the details are still to come, but it certainly won't be that level of finance for each business. But it will be enough to allow them to actually gear up and provide a level of experience that our international visitors expect.
I was interested in the numbers of visitors for Milford Sound, 870,000, and the comment that it cannot return to that level. What is the right number of visitors for that area?
Well, what we do know is that we were tourism was beginning to erode social licence to operate, and by that I mean that Kiwis were questioning if, in fact, the number of international visitors we had in this country was delivering for our communities. When a sector loses its social licence to operate, then very quickly we stop providing a level of service or the level of experience that I think our international tourists demand and require.
So if you think that's happened in Milford Sound and there was annual visitor numbers of 870,000, what is the number that you think is, well, the sweet spot?
Yeah, it's not about what is the number, Lisa. It's about how do we deliver on the experience. And,
so what's that 15 million you're giving then? What will it deliver on the experience?
Okay, so there's a Milford Opportunities Project team that's been working very closely with key stakeholders, but on a plan. They're going to release stage one of their plan in the coming weeks. What this will be is to help fund stage two, which will require an exhaustive amount of consultation with key stakeholders, mana whenua, tourism operators, locals, to ensure that we actually get the experience right. So it's not returning to how it was. I mean, you talk to Kiwis and overseas tourists who had gone down there. It looked like a camper van car park. There were planes coming in and out. There were huge cruise ships coming in and out. It wasn't the sort of environmental nature experience that I think we were selling to the world. And Simon Upton reiterated this in his Commission for the Environment reiterated this in his report on tourism.
Appreciate your time this evening. That is the Tourism Minister, Stuart Nash.